Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
And links for salad.
You know, you're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby.
Rachel, I'm going to need to ask you a question.
Okay.
So I walk into our studio, aka your living room, and I go, you know, everything seems normal. And then I look to the left in your office and I see a giant wooden crate. You know, and I go, what's peeking out of that giant wooden crate? And it's it's a mullet. It's a plastic mullet. And then I look and I see there's 17,000 other little figurines with plastic mullets. And I just want to know what's that all about.
I just want to know what's
going on here and why people are showing up at your door every 5 minutes to ask about the bobbleheads. What are the bobbleheads?
Yeah. I'm
confused about that. Do you have a side business that I don't know about?
I do have a side gig. Well, maybe it's
side hustle, if you will.
Yeah. We could call it a hustle. I hustle.
Where were you around, I'm assuming, like 4 a.m. this morning? Usually when delivery trucks make their stops. Do you have an alibi for that?
No. Because...
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we got her. We are obviously...
Reggae horn. Pew, 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 pew.
We are obviously going to talk about the fact that one of the funniest... look. I want to give, before I say one of the funniest things ever, I know this must be a gigantic headache for the marketing staff, for the truck drivers, for the, you know, for just the organization, everyone in the admin.
On a scale of 1 to having your Team Legends bobblehead stolen on promotional night, how's your season going?
It really is when it rains, it pours kind of
it's
thing.
A
huh?
Microcosm like it's microcosm of... It's,
that's insane. So,
I should just get my guitar and start playing the Luke Combs "When It Rains, It Pours" song.
Yeah. You know what? We'll talk about it now because we are going to do for our Cantork deep dive the funniest moments or some of the funniest sort of instances in sports. Maybe not moments, but I mean just funny stuff that's happened in sports along these lines. But I would like, let's just talk about the fact that the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're doing like it's Jaromir Jagr night and Jagr. And like, this has been weeks, I would say months in the making because Jagr had his jersey retired.
He's been in Pittsburgh for 2 weeks.
He's been in Pittsburgh longer now than he ever was during his actual playing days. He's embracing the fact that he is, you know, former Pittsburgh Penguin, you know, guy got his jersey retired, Hall of Famer, all that. And
he's eating lots of ice cream.
He sure is. And he's
skating with the kiddos.
Yeah, he's taking pictures with Crosby and with Lemieux. And, you know,
okay,
everyone's...
so that picture.
Yeah.
Pause on that picture.
Okay.
There was a picture that surfaced of Crosby, Lemieux, and Jagr. Is that... like, that has three top... at least 10 players of all time. I'd say maybe like top 8 players of all time, right? You've got Gretzky or... Lemieux, Howe, but I put Jagr and Sid like
maybe like 6 and 7. Like it's like I
and then you have the Rocket. Like
I thought you were gonna say then you have the Rock, and I'm like, yeah, no. You're right, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah,
but like
no, it's crazy.
That's like three. First of all, the fact that the Pittsburgh Penguins have three of easily the top 10 players of all time, like with jerseys retired, because Sid's nobody is ever allowed to wear 87 ever again.
In the league. Like it's
imagine some guy just rocks up, I'm gonna wear 87. It's like, I don't think you're gonna do that. But when you
it reminds me of like I remember I was doing Be a Pro in NHL, like where you get drafted by a team, and I got drafted by the Bruins, and they're like, pick your number, and I'm like, why can't I pick number 4? It's my favorite number. And then I go, oh,
guy.
Oh yeah, Bobby Orr. I forgot about the legend that. Yeah, okay, makes sense. But
talk
no.
about knowing your organization. Yeah. Way to go, Mike.
So it goes. Yeah, look, I'm not
couple
a
couple of hockey goats listen, in
I'm,
that photo.
Listen, I restarted that save because I'm like, I don't want to be a Bruin anyway. Screw this. But no, like, so what happened? If you didn't know, is that yeah, the Pittsburgh Penguins are supposed to have Jaromir Jagr night tonight. It's Monday night.
Bobblehead night.
Yeah, bobblehead night, March 14th. Everyone in attendance is supposed to get a commemorative Jaromir Jagr bobblehead, which is great. It's got the mullet. It's all about the Jaromir Jagr, you know, love fest. He's coming back to Pittsburgh, all that kind of stuff. Someone stole the shipment of 17,000 Jaromir Jagr Pittsburgh Penguins bobbleheads.
I need to get the tinfoil out. Because I have
well, Gritty put the tweet out saying, like, tell them it was me, like that kind of thing, which is hilarious. But like, again, I want to say everyone in like the back off, not the back offices, anyone in like the business side of the Pittsburgh Penguins is like, is, you know, working today with like a gun in their mouth. Like, they're like, this is the worst day of
and
our professional career.
And they tweeted out that they were going to be given out on another night. Okay, but what about the people that were coming to this game? How can you say, like,
so they have a voucher. Everyone in attendance is given a voucher, and so when you bring that voucher, I guess, to the Pittsburgh Penguins store, they'll give it to you. Like,
okay, yeah. So it's not just there's like, oh, 17th. Too bad, so sad, you don't get the
yeah,
people.
There's only 17,000 vouchers, or however many people are in attendance vouchers. You give it to I'm assuming you go up to the Pittsburgh Penguins store, and they'll have a set amount of them. But that is crazy. That, like,
I think it was an inside job. Or not an inside job, but, like, I think it was planned. Like, it wasn't, like, someone... You know how sometimes...
It's a guerrilla marketing thing or something?
No, but what I'm saying is, like, you know how sometimes it's just, like, there are shitty people in this world, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna hijack this truck. I don't know what's in it, but I'm gonna hijack it just to see. Kind of like you buy a storage unit.
Yes.
Not really knowing what's in there. What I'm saying is, I don't think, like, someone in Pittsburgh organized this. I think because they announced that Jagr night was happening, I think somebody, like, got ahead of this and was like, we have to be prepared. We know they're being delivered XYZ. Like, maybe they know somebody at the trucking company. Because for those specifically and nothing else to go missing is kind of weird.
Well, the thing, like...
And they've immediately popped up on eBay.
Have they?
Like, oh, my God, yeah. They're okay. Already on eBay.
Yeah.
And they're being sold for like $150. So I'm like, this was an organized... Had they not popped up on eBay, I could have been like, oh, maybe it was an actual mistake. Within the hour, they were on eBay.
That's also extremely stupid. Like, you should... If you're going to steal that, you then do all of your sales like face-to-face.
Yeah, because now what if somebody goes, oh, I want to meet up in person? Now you're under arrest.
Welcome to the, like, you know, get ready to learn FBIs, buddy. Like,
yeah,
it's,
you're going to the gulag.
Well, the thing is basically, like, the whole thing of how the Sopranos, how they got their money in the show is by a lot of it. Like, I would say, like, maybe 40 to 50% of their business was, like, ripping off trucks. Like, was hijacking trucks, you know, getting all the cargo in the back and then selling it for, like, you know, at a price and you pocket the money. Like, I'm maybe it was a mafia thing. Who knows? But I think this is...
But it's extremely stupid to put them on eBay within the hour because people are like, well, I wonder where you got them.
You're going
to
track the VA... Like, they can maybe try and hide, like, sort of the VPN or, like, through a VPN, like, their IP address there. But, like, you're going to... It's the FBI. You're going to get found out, man. Like, it's...
Well, and this is the thing. It's like, people will say, oh, like, will the FBI get involved? Yes! I guarantee you, this is not the first time that they've done this. Yes, it's bobblehead, so we think it's extremely funny. What if you do that to a shipment with, like,
insulin,
millions of dollars of gold?
Yeah, or like medicine or something like that. But
your ass is so in jail if you do that.
There's a couple things. Two things I want to know. One is where were these manufactured? Because if they are, it's basically like if they cross state lines and you steal them, I believe that is even more money. Like,
state lines, this is federal, like 100%. Yeah. These things are always like, I have a Gritty bobblehead.
Yeah, they
right
probably manufactured
there.
Yeah, but
and
I mean, like,
I'm pretty sure it was made in either Vietnam or China.
But I mean,
so.
Like, where, like, the port that it came into, and then
Pennsylvania doesn't have a port, so
well, whatever port it was. What I want to know is when they picked up these things, did they go outside of Pennsylvania and then put them on eBay? Because if they did, that's transporting stolen goods across state lines. And that's like 25 years. Like, that's a lot. That's basically if they cross state lines, if they hijack this thing and then cross state lines, that is a lot of years. That is a serious, and maybe not 25 years, but it's like
Yeah, 15. You're probably not getting 25 years for like bobbleheads.
No, but I like it. But transporting, like, because you think about how much money these actually cost. So like how much the shipment was and everything.
They're probably like a buck a bobblehead. So we're talking about like 20 grand maybe, like, worth of stuff.
So transporting 20 grand of stolen merchandise across state lines, that's
grand larceny.
Exactly. And that becomes a federal case. And
damn.
And then you're screwed. So like I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it. But it's
extremely funny, though.
It is, yeah, and I wanna send my heartfelt condolences to, you know, like I said, like the people in the marketing department of the Pittsburgh Penguins, people in the business admin department of the Pittsburgh Penguins, all of that stuff, because this is a nightmare day for them. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen
to them.
Like, okay, you spent weeks, possibly even months, setting up all the logistics for Yammer Yager bobblehead night. You have to converse or set up a deal with the manufacturer. Then you have to set up a deal with the trucking company and the shipment, and then work it into the promo schedule, and then work with sponsors and all that. That's like months of work. And then the morning it's supposed to happen, the entire shipment gets stolen.
Harry Pottered into thin air.
That is the worst thing that could possibly happen to these people in their job. So I want to apologize. I know that's horrible. At the same time, this is one of the funniest things that's happened in sports.
Should I buy one off of eBay?
No. No, because you will then, because I don't want to be recording a podcast and the friggin' FBI batters down your door. You know?
I'm allowed to buy it.
Yeah, you're going to have to give it back. If they bust these guys, yeah, you're going to have to forfeit it. Like, it's going to be, I would just.
They're not forfeiting. We're not talking about like Cartier bracelets. We're talking about a dollar bobblehead. Okay. What are Penguins going to do with
those?
Well,
if you knew that it was stolen when you bought it, then you do. And we have now audio proof that we knew it was stolen when you bought it.
First of all, I'm not going to spend $150, which is what some dumbass thinks so that they're selling these for.
Don't do it.
But like.
Yeah. Listen, it's very funny. And I
was
just
actually
going
to buy one not to have it. I want to see what the address is.
It's going to be a fake address. Like, if these guys aren't the dumbest people in the world, they will have masked their,
They clearly can't be very smart because they're already on eBay.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
they,
we know you stole
but
them.
They're probably using some sort of like IP cloaking technology. Like, yeah. I have to assume that they have covered their tracks to some degree. Then again, who knows?
Either way. I'm
very
sure the
funny.
FBI will.
Because this is also when it rains, like really when it rains, it pours. The Pittsburgh Penguins are having a nightmare
so
season.
Funny.
Sidney Crosby is furious at the team right now because they traded his best pal. And also, I would say, speaking of Yager, the best winger to play for the Penguins since Yager, like Jake Guentzel. Maybe Chris Kunitz is up there too, but like, I don't know.
No, Jake Guentzel.
Exactly. Like, he was pissed about that. The fact that the Pens are not making the playoffs for the second straight year. It basically punted on the season now. And everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong for the Penguins this season. And now it happened. Now I have a couple tweets that I want to sort of read because they were funny.
Okay.
Regarding this, regarding all this, because I bookmarked a couple and I thought it'd be funny to read. Number one, it's from, it's from Active Stick, and it's the Sue Sylvester meme, you know, where it's like, I'm going to create an environment that's so toxic, but I'm going to steal all the motherfucking Yager bobbleheads, which I find is funny. The other one is Sam McKee from Sportsnet. According to a source, they were supposed to ship in a big, tough, rugged container, but Dubas chose to move them in a small, light, faster container, which is hysterical.
That's good.
There's a guy it's the hot dog guy costume,
yes.
Where it's, but he's wearing a Yager mullet and he's going, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. And then it's a big announcement. We're giving away exclusive Yager bobbleheads to the first 15,000 fans on our opening day against the Orioles. And it's from an account that's pretending to be the owner of the Orioles because he's so cheap. And then there's another one, and it's just a screenshot of Nicolas Cage going, I'm going to steal a truckload of Yager bobbleheads. And then there's The Sopranos of Chris Malasanigo. AT, there's this truck in Pittsburgh we just jacked. Thousands of bobbleheads. Yammer Yager limited edition. What a score. There you go.
Good stuff.
That
good
Dubas
stuff.
One is actually made me chuckle in public.
Sam McKee. He's got a good sense of
but
humor.
It's like, this is, I mean, I've never, this is just an example of, like we said, when it rains, it pours. The worst thing that could possibly, like, it's been the worst season you can imagine in Pittsburgh outside of them.
The building burning down.
Yeah, because it's not even like they're in contention for Celebrini, or it's just, they just suck.
But you know what's going to be really funny is when they figure out how to be the team that wins the lottery. So
yeah,
that'll be great because exactly. I'm sure people won't be angry at that whatsoever. They'll go from Lemieux to Crosby to Celebrini without any break in between.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that, but okay, so here's one.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly.
Okay.
And I can't even believe that this was a discussion.
Okay.
Who would you be more angry about Macklin Celebrini going to?
Well, that's a good question.
Pittsburgh or Chicago?
Chicago.
Thank you. The fact that people even, it was a 50-50 split vote. I'm like, one of those organizations covered up a sexual assault and got rewarded with a generational talent and might get one of the better players to come out of a draft. They absolutely, that would infuriate the whole league.
If the, like, basically if the prize for the biggest like sexual assault cover up in the league's history is only paying $2 million in fines with basically no supplemental discipline
and getting the equivalent of Crosby Malkin.
Yeah. And then drafting and then in back to back years, winning the lottery to draft Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini. I quit. Like, I'm done with hockey. Like, it's that, but I think it would be hilarious if Celebrini went to Pittsburgh. I would actually enjoy that. Like, I would like that. I like Pittsburgh. Like, as a market, I want to see Crosby win another cup before he retires.
Oh, I would be fully on side with Celebrini going to Pittsburgh. Like, that'd be great. Care.
If he goes to Chicago, I will like self-immolate. Like like I will set myself on fire. It's ridiculous. Anyway, speaking of a team that won lotteries recently, is the Buffalo Sabres. And listen, it looked like they were careening towards another very disappointing season, and considering that I picked them to make the playoffs in a wild card spot, but nonetheless, it is somewhat of a disappointing season. But the Sabres, they're on a heater.
They made a trade, and it's going well for them right now.
Yeah. So the Sabres, after everything looked hopeless, like I know they did a one for one swap with Byram and Mittelstadt, but they did sell at the deadline. Like, they traded away Eric Johnson for some reason.
They traded away Kyle Okposo.
They traded their captain.
Well, I think he wants to win, and yes. So they kind of did right by him, which I have a ton of time for. Like, I remember a couple years ago, we were clowning on Kevin Adams, and I feel like he's really turned it mm-hmm. around and, like, earned some...
Absolutely.
Some goodwill here, especially because, like, he's built a really solid department of people that have helped turn the Buffalo Sabres around. I don't think Don Granato gets nearly enough credit.
No, I love Don Granato.
He's the opposite of Pascal Vincent
yeah.
in terms of developing young players. Like, look at Matias Samuelsson's development. Rasmus Dahlin's taken a step. Owen Power looks incredible. John Jason Paterka is absolutely
But then they have Jack Quinn, who's been hurt all year, but he's a great prospect, you know?
Peyton
like
Krebs is coming into
exactly.
his own. Tage Thompson under Don Granato. Hello?
Became one of the best players in the league. Or like top 20, top 25 player in the league. Like,
he's a top 20 center in the league.
Yeah.
Easily.
Or at least center. Yeah. But I mean, like, if like, at the height of his threat. Powers, people are now trying to recreate like the next Tage Thompson by getting just a gigantic lanky human being who has hands, basically.
Which is just not a good idea, generally yeah. speaking.
But it's with Don Granato, I remember it was, I think it was 2021 or 2022. It's my first year, like, covering the Leafs as like the beat. And I remember there was a morning skate and he comes in there, and the Sabres, they were coming off that nightmare COVID year when they got Taylor Hall, and it just
they were having their Pittsburgh year.
They were having, but like, to the point where like there was a stretch of years in there where the Sabres were the worst place to play hockey in the NHL. Ryan O'Reilly.
Well, Arizona.
Okay. Nothing beats Arizona. But I mean, like, I don't remember any Arizona Coyote, especially one of Ryan O'Reilly's stature, standing in front of the media after season and going, "This season made me lose my love of the game." Remember that? Like, yes. that is horrible. No one wanted to play in Buffalo. Hall only signed there because that was like his last option, basically.
After Darren Ferris,
it's really screwed.
Royally screwed that
yeah.
one up.
Then it went horrendously. Like, if you remember the Sabres in that tank in that 2021 year, the COVID year, were almost as bad as
that was the Eichel McDavid year.
Yeah, but we were wondering if they were going to be as bad as the I think the 2015-16 or 16-17 Avs.
Right.
And then Don Granato comes there, and I remember he's speaking to the media after a morning skate, and I sit down and I have questions for him, whatever. But I remember leaving that scrum going like, "Oh yeah, he's the guy." Like, it's been a rough ride in Buffalo, but he is the, like, I trust him. Like, he is the guy to turn this around. And listen, they have made the playoffs. since that happened.
But it's then an inarguable turnaround.
It is. And the culture is different. People want to play in Buffalo. People are excited to play in Buffalo. They have a ton of young talent that's only coming into its own. And with Kevin Adams, I expected the worst with him because he was a Pegula lackey.
Yeah.
Like he was like their executive assistant or something. He was a former player. Then he was like their exec. I thought he was just going to be a good old boy, but he comes in, he makes some really smart moves. And now the Sabres, after it looking horrible, they're 5 points back of Detroit and the Islanders, and their next two games are against the Islanders and Detroit. They have the ability to, with a win against these two guys, be 1 point outside the playoffs.
Yeah, so the Islanders are 7-3. They're looking
Patrick Waugh's nice whipped them into shape.
Yeah, extremely into shape. Bo Horvat is doing his thing. Brock Nelson looks good. Noah Dobson still looks good. Ilya Sorokin now looks good, which is a problem for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Bo Byram coming in, playing nearly 25 minutes a night. He's got a goal in every single one of the games he's played, which a reminder that he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
Their power play is clicking at 31% now with him.
They put him in a position to succeed, man. He was never going to get that in Colorado. Well,
I remember the first power play that he was on for Buffalo. He was like yelling at the other players to move, and they were like, wait, what? What do you mean there's movement? Now they've actually started to move, and they're scoring, which is...
Has Pittsburgh considered moving around on the power play at all?
We're not sure.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
We should get Jesse back on asking that one question.
But like they've looked really good with Byram in the lineup. This two-game stretch is make or break because both games are four-point games. If they beat both teams with the way Detroit's going, okay. But I think there's one playoff spot up for grabs between
those three
Buffalo,
teams. Yeah.
The Islanders, Detroit. Washington's in there. Washington's not making the playoffs.
No.
Like,
they know they're not making the playoffs. They sold.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be really interesting because it looks like Buffalo's kind of been rejuvenated here. And when you have three solid defensemen, because Samuelson is still out, you have three like impact defensemen, that can make a huge difference. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been incredible for the better part of 2 months now. And so they've really kind of found their stride. And I'm interested to see. I think regardless of whether they make the playoffs or not, they're playing meaningful hockey, and they haven't played truly meaningful hockey in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be good for the development of their young players.
Absolutely. And look, Pekka Luukkonen has been one of the best, like legitimately one of the best goalies in the league since the new year. Like he is. And I know that because I picked him up basically on New Year's Eve. I was desperate for a goalie and he was out there, but he's been a legit like top 10 goaltender by save percentage, by record, however you want to put it. Look, I don't think it's likely because the Islanders, just on the trajectory that they're on under Patrick Waugh,
have more talent.
They're a much more confident, much more. The Islanders have more talent. I don't know.
Sorokin or Pekka Luukkonen.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean,
right
if you mean in goal,
immediately.
But I mean,
stop.
Like in terms of offensive firepower, like they have Barzal and they have Horvat
and they have Nelson. Anders Lee is starting to heat up. Kyle Palmieri has been on a tear.
Yeah, but then you look at like Tage Thompson.
Had a terrible season.
Yeah, he has a terrible season. Yeah. But like they have, I'd say like maybe Buffalo has the sexier.
Right. But the Islanders have the veteran, more together experience. Cal Clutterbuck is on an absolute tear right now for whatever reason.
That's not a sentence I expected to ever hear again.
No.
So interesting.
He's
but
been on a tear.
I think, but definitely don't count the Sabres out. Like anything can happen with the way Detroit is going. Like they've lost seven in a row and they're fighting each other in practice now. You see that?
Sherratt
versus
Lucas Raymond.
I don't. If I'm Lucas.
Ben Sherratt cross-checking his own teammate. Yeah. I'm sure Steve Yzerman loves
No, he just
that.
It's just muscle memory. He's just used to it. Like it's like the Winter Soldier. He got like someone said his name, said cross-check or something, and he went like must cross-check teammate.
Yep.
Like, but it's look at it. I think they're a great team. Buffalo. I was high on them coming into the year. They definitely had some stumbles. But, like, listen, Okposo's fine, but, like, he's not moving the needle anymore, really. So I think losing him is not the biggest problem. I would say, it definitely...
Getting Jack Quinn back is...
Jack Quinn back is huge. And I think, like, you can't discount the impact losing your captain is going to have on the room.
Yeah.
They love him.
I mean, we put out a poll, Alex Tucker, Rasmus Dahlin. A lot of people think it's Tuck.
The captain?
I heard a lot of people, and, like, I heard from people in Buffalo that were like, I'd be shocked if it wasn't Alex Tuck.
This sounds like a positionally reversed sort of who's going to be the captain, Matthews or Riley debate. Like, because Riley was like the, you know, the solid guy. He took less to stay here. He, like, Ed Matthews is sort of like the first overall pick, run and gun, and ultimately neither of them got it. But people are saying, like, you know, Riley probably should have got that C, and I believe he should have. And he, if Tavares walks, he probably will. But I really like the Sabres, and all it takes is one stumble for either the. I mean, the, obviously the Red Wings are in the middle of stumbling right now, but all it takes.
They're not even stumbling. They're like in free fall yeah. mode, 18-wheeler mode. Yeah.
But it really is an 18-wheeler because were looking real
Dylan
good.
Without Dylan Larkin, yeah. That's the problem here. Like, based on this, I was actually talking with somebody the other day. Like, based on this run, Dylan Larkin should be getting Hart votes. Well, because they're a completely different team without him.
Are they disappointing, or are they exactly who we thought they were? Because going into this season...
Yeah, we are, but that's the whole Dylan Larkin yes. thing. But it's basically without him,
yeah.
they're a lottery team, basically.
Because going into this season, at least I remember, but like I think our sort of consensus was... Was Steve Yzerman's off-season agenda to be like, let me bring together a collection of the most mid players we can, like the JT.
Yeah, I think I had them like sixth yeah. in the Atlantic.
Because like any team that has like Andrew,
you
Kopp,
had them below Ottawa.
Yeah,
you
well,
had
I did not
in
believe
the playoffs.
I had them as the final wild card, and that's the last time I will ever bow to the Sens mob.
This man had the Sens above the Bruins.
No, I didn't.
I'm pretty sure you had the Bruins missing the playoffs.
I don't think I did.
I have the graphic.
If I did, fuck me. Like, oh my God. But listen, I thought this was the year. Their centers were Pavel Zacha, Charlie Coyle, and like Morgan Geeky. Like, you look at this team, you go, there's no way they should still be that good. And they are. Look, I think the Sabres, you're probably right, Rachel. I probably did. I probably had them just outside the playoffs.
I actually have to look at this now because I want to see where we had Detroit.
I was not high on Detroit.
No, you were
and I'm
not.
I'm still not. Then they signed Klim Kostin for some reason, and they just traded him for nothing. Like, it's... What?
I don't necessarily understand that one.
I don't believe in the Yzer plan anymore. Can I just say that? I just don't. Like, I don't believe in what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
What terrible pick did I make at the start
Can
of the
we
year?
Review Mike's Atlantic division, please?
It's embarrassing. I had the Leafs on top. I know that.
The Sabres in second.
Sabres in second? I thought I had them in like a wild. Wow.
Tampa in third.
Okay.
The Sens in fourth. The Bruins in fifth. The Panthers in sixth.
Wow.
Detroit in seventh and Montreal in eighth.
You know what? I don't hate my logic for that. It obviously ended up.
I don't hate your logic.
It obviously
it's
is
very funny
hilariously wrong. Like, oh my God.
What did I have? Okay, so I had Toronto, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Buffalo. It's going to end up shaking out Florida, Boston, Toronto, Tampa.
So this, I was under the impression when I made those picks, especially with Florida, that Tkachuk was going to be out for like half the year, that Montour and Ekblad were both going to be out for like potentially the whole year, or at least like they'd be coming back now. And then I was also expecting Bobrovsky to turn back into a pumpkin, you know, like there was, they lost Gudas. They lost a couple of like important players. They lost Duclair, guys like that. Like I was expecting, this is a team that kind of lucked its way to the,
not kind of,
they
absolutely
did. This
lucked
is a team that did luck their way to the cup final. And then they lost, they either had like a banged up older team and also lost a couple of really key players from that. I expected
Maybe
them.
Paul Maurice is a better coach than we give him.
I think he is. Well, you know what? And this is, Paul Maurice reminds me a lot like of Don Granato in that like, A, he's, I think good with younger players now. But also B, like you will run through a wall for that guy. Like if you have to see the same guy and hear the same guy blow the whistle at practice and tell you to skate and stuff every day for, you know, 8, 10 months or however long the
like,
season is.
Brindamore is the poster guy for yes. running through the wall.
But like Paul Maurice, like if you have to, like the thing about a coach is you have to see that guy every fucking day. You have to talk, you have to, he's in meetings harping on you. He's telling you to get to the goal line to skate. There are worse guys. Or if for a guy like that, like I would want to hear Paul Maurice doing that. All right. Our PWHL report though, things have happened. Namely that Hyundai is the official vehicle of the league, which is again another major like AAA brand signing on. yeah. as a sponsor.
Well, Hyundai used to sponsor Hockey Night in Canada.
They did.
So, like, we're talking about a major, major vehicle. So they're the official vehicle of the PWHL, which is fantastic, right? We've got Mattel Canada, which is Barbie. You've got Molson. You've got Hyundai. Like, we're talking, like, some major... major sponsors. We got Upper Deck signing on.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we're going to have trading cards. So right now you can get a limited edition e-pack, digital and physical trading cards, but there's a digital e-pack right now, and there's more product launches to come. So I would assume probably for like the start of next season, we'll have some PWHL trading cards, which is super cool. And
that's huge. That's yeah, awesome.
I like that a lot.
Another thing is that Saturday, obviously, though, is the PWHL takeover in Detroit. So we have a couple NHL buildings here that are getting some PWHL games. Detroit in Detroit, it's Ottawa versus Boston. And then there's another one in Pittsburgh, which could be the foretelling of a new team going into Pittsburgh. That's been talked about a lot. We even talked about that recently. And that's Montreal versus Toronto. And then on April 20th, 420, Blaze It. They'll be blazing a new record for attendance with the Montreal Canadiens hosting Toronto and Montreal at the Bell Center.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So you got PWHL Takeover Weekend in Detroit and Pittsburgh this weekend. Mm-hmm. You're going to play in front of sold out crowds in those cities. I think that like that's two relatively new arenas, Little Caesars Arena and PPG Paints Arena. Like those mm-hmm. are nice arenas.
They're great arenas. And Little Caesars is considered like...
And Pittsburgh has done
three.
A ton for girls hockey, absolutely. Like at the grassroots level. And so I like the fact that NHL teams are opening up their doors and saying like, hey, come on in and play here. Like, we want this.
Yeah.
You see players talking about it. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Penguins at the game or Red Wings at the game. I don't know if they're in town or not, but I know when like the Battle of Bay Street in Toronto, mm-hmm. Morgan Riley, Tessa Virtue were at the game. Austin Matthews was at the game.
There was like a box of Leafs.
Yeah, there was a box there.
If they're in town, there will be players from both NHL teams there.
Exactly.
For sure.
And then the Montreal one I think is fantastic because one, there's already a team in Montreal, but Montreal, like the Habs, have been at the forefront of supporting women's hockey because if you remember, when the CWHL was a thing, the Leafs, the Flames and the Habs all had partnerships with the respective teams. And so it's great to see that Montreal is getting behind this. And we're getting like a ton of support. Martin Saint-Louis talked about the league. Jeff Molson's talked about the league. And so I'll be interested to see kind of where it goes from here. I'd love to see them break that record. I mean, the Bell Center is on a Saturday night, the best place to watch a hockey game.
Yeah.
Hands down, not close. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it's going to look like. I mean, I love that they did it April 20th because obviously the Habs aren't going to be playing. That ship has very obviously sailed. So I don't know how many of the Habs are going to be in town, but it'd be kind of nice if like Nick Suzuki was there, maybe drop the puck, something like that. Yeah. I think it'd be really cool.
That'd be great. I hope they sort of carve out some time in the middle of the game to celebrate Juraj Slafkovský for scoring at a 64-point pace for the last 3 months.
That was Mike, not me. I'm not
that's
getting
great.
Into this again.
All right. That's going to be great. Now, Toronto. Speaking of Toronto, and I will actually, I'll be at the Toronto-New York game next Wednesday because I'm covering that for Canadian Press, which will be fun.
I will also be at that game.
Great.
But,
so if anyone's there,
watch my
don't
friend.
Come say hi to me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm kidding. You can if you want. Toronto has caught up. They're first in the league now. When's the last time we were able to say that?
Yeah, they've won 9 in a row.
Crazy. Natalie Spooner killing it.
Yeah, they started, I think it was like 0-4-1, and now they got 9 wins in 16 games. Not bad, folks.
Well, a lot of that helps that their goalies turned it around because Toronto's goalies were among, I would say they were the worst actually in the league
like
to start out.
3 shutouts or something like that. She has like a 938 now. Kristen Campbell has figured it out. Troy Ryan's got his team playing more cohesively. I think Emma Malte really stepping up and finding her role on that second line there has been helpful. And then, of course, Natalie Spooner leading the league in scoring. She's got 12 goals. The next closest player has 8, so it's not even really all that close. She's been phenomenal, and we're talking about someone who just had a child.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Speaking of children, Emerence Mashmeyer and her partner announced that they were pregnant, and then they used their teammates to do the gender reveal.
That's great.
So they had two of their teammates open, like, the envelope to find out the gender and, like, not tell them. And they did, like, an obstacle course after practice one day. And Brienne Jenner was able to break it to them by winning the race that they're having a boy. So I love... That's something in men's hockey that we don't get.
Well, it's
like,
just...
you just don't get that.
It's just insane. Like, I think about it, like, it's crazy that, like, you can... poop out a whole human being and then, like, go play hockey, you know, a couple months after that.
Yeah, like professional Natalie Spooner, hockey. You're wild.
Like, it's just, it boggles my mind. Like, I also can't imagine, like, you're a hardcore fan of this team, and you're a Leafs fan, you're gearing up for this, and then you realize, and then Austin Matthews goes, oh crap, I'm pregnant on, like, May 1st. You go, oh great.
Well, no, Mashmeyer's not actually pregnant, so, like, the player,
their partner, yeah,
yeah, their partner.
But I'm like, but like pregnant. it's like I just.
But that would cause a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, but I just like it's such a it's crazy. Like, it just goes to show how
it's kind of,
like,
crazy that
how,
like,
tough as nails these athletes are, because, like, you squeeze out an entire human out of your body, and then
you're just like, all right,
and then you're like, all right, stitch me back up. Let me go back in, coach. Like, it's crazy. I think if. There's
remarkable.
No way. Sorry, but, like, men, look, you can play with as many broken bones as you want or teeth, but, like, I'm telling you,
you're not that tough.
No, exactly. Exactly. All right, Rachel, let's go into our CanTorque deep dive. CanTorque makes rugged, hardworking industrial torque tools for heavy equipment operators around the world. They are proudly Canadian and manufacture everything out of Edmonton, Alberta for heavy industry around the world. Their new website tells their story, 20 years in the making. Visit CanTorque.com today and ask Colin for more details. Now, the Jager bobbleheads getting stolen. One of the funniest moments, I think, in sports recently. But for our deep dive, because there's not really a ton happening in the NHL, we just basically talked about it off the top of the show. We thought, let's take a look at some other funny things that have happened in sports in general and do a bit of a reminisce a little bit, I think. Let's have some fun. And I would say, number one, we have to start off with... something that, you know, I can relate to something like that. Not that this has happened to me, but I can see how this would transpire between people, specifically men in a fantasy league, is Tommy Pham before a game between the Cincinnati Reds and the San Francisco Giants. Now, Tommy Pham was with the Reds. Jock Peterson is with the Giants. They're both in a fantasy football league together. Now, cameras caught before the game Tommy Pham going up to Jock Peterson, having a bit of a row with him, and then slapping him in the face. And we go, what happened here?
So this was the first year I played fantasy football.
Yeah.
I won. I don't understand. And maybe it's just because, like, I don't, like, get fantasy. Obviously, we've talked about the pool that my dad's in, where there is an ungodly amount of money at stake. But, like, even in that pool, like, it's not that serious, guys. Like, you don't need to be slapping people.
See,
didn't he get suspended?
He got suspended 3 games for it.
Yeah. So think about how much money you lost out on.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it was worth it. Like, what a dumbass.
Now, here's the thing. So
it's not that serious.
Okay. So you're a level-headed person, and I respect that opinion of yours. I've been in the same fantasy football league since I was... in grade 10, since I was 15 years old.
You still talk to that many people from high school?
Only through fantasy, basically. But,
oh,
like, it's...
God.
But I've been in the same fantasy football league since I was in grade 10. I remember signing up for it in Mr. Yamamoto's...
Is it Kaylor Yamamoto's dad's class?
Absolutely, yes. and it was in a science class that I eventually dropped. But...
You can drop science? No, you have to take...
In grade 10, I transferred into Mr. Philpott's class, got a decent mark, and then never took science again.
Ah.
There's me, a master's
of science.
You can drop science after grade 10, I believe.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so I've been in that fantasy league since I was 15 years old. I'm 28 now. So we're coming up on my 13th year. I have bled, I have sweat, and I've cried over that league. Let me tell you, and I've also, in that time, I finished in second place 4 times.
Well, good for you.
No, that's not good.
Oh.
I'm mad. I've never won, but I finished runner-up 4 times. And
meanwhile, I come on and I'm like, I played fantasy for the first time and won.
I'm going to slap you, basically.
Like, oh,
wow. And so let me tell you, like, There have been moments. Actually, I have been, it wasn't over fantasy, but I've been slapped by a member of my fantasy team over a football related argument before. My buddy was a Steelers fan. And after the Tim Tebow playoff game, I showed up to school and I went, "Hey, how about that? How about Tim Tebow?" And he turned around and punched me in the face.
Okay,
and I went, you know what? I deserve that. But I would.
That's the same way, though. Like, after the Leafs collapsed in game 7, I was in grade.
We were in grade 12. 11.
I was in grade 12.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't go to school for 3 days. I was dating a Bruins fan. I didn't go to school for 3 days. And then when I went back to school, everyone knew, because at that time I had a temper. Like, I was...
Oh, at that time?
No, like, it was bad.
Oh, yeah, no, it's changed a lot.
You
never get mad now.
It has changed a lot. No, it used to be... Put it this way, and yeah, we'll bring my best friend on at some point, because she listens to the show.
Okay.
She will tell you about how I managed to explode a bottle of Sunny D one day in a fit of rage. Like, that hard plastic that doesn't break for any reason at all. You basically need a saw. No, I shattered it into, like, 1,000 pieces. But... I go to school, it's like 3 days after, it was the weekend, so my parents were like, "You don't need to go to school, like, it's fine." And I go back to school, and everyone knew, like, just don't say anything. Like, just don't do it. Don't speak. My boyfriend at the time was like, "I'm gonna talk to you in a week. Like, we're good here." And no one spoke to me at school for 2 days. So I went like 5 days without speaking to any of my friends because I was so distraught. That's the most, but I've never taken it out on someone. Like, I've never been punched in the face over anything like that.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah, you guys are weird, man.
Yeah, it's, look, I don't condone it, obviously, but I can 100% see it happen, especially because apparently the backstory here was that Jock Peterson... Or basically, Tommy Pham accused Jock Peterson of stashing guys on the IR, which is like to pick up guys. Like, for example, I remember 1 year, and this came closest to when we were, this is the closest anything came to this, is that, like, 1 year I remember we have a rule, like our league is a keeper league, but you can only keep someone you either picked up on waivers or drafted after the 8th round, I think it is, in the year before. Like, that's the only, you can only keep one person, and it's those.
Why can't I keep, like, my best player?
Because it would just be unfair. Everyone would, there'd be like the first overall pick in that the next year then would be like Tony Pollard or someone. Like, it wouldn't, you know, like you want to make it fair. So the only people you can choose to keep are guys you drafted in the 8th round or below, or a guy you picked up on waivers during that season.
So by this logic, you know who I would get to keep in your pool this year?
Who?
Puka Nacua.
Exactly. No, exactly. Like, that's like, that will be someone's keeper, which is crazy. But like, but that's like that very rarely happens. But I remember it was the year that Le'Veon Bell held out. So he was technically technically NA, which is what they call, which means you can put him on IR. So I picked him up on waivers, stashed him on IR, and was like, and no one noticed really, because no one cared. And then, because they're like, he's not playing, who cares? But then the next year came around, we're just like, all right, declare your keepers. I went, Le'Veon Bell. They went, the fuck you are, like, no way. And I was, and I, like, it I was a, it was like a legal battle basically, but I ultimately had to relent. I can see how this would result in anger. Especially before a MLB game, it's a little much.
Yeah, you have more important things you need to be focused on. Yeah. That was my main concern. Like, I get this is a high school league. Like,
yeah, that was the only thing we had to deal with. Job.
You're suspended for three games.
Like, you probably, and it's spent without pay. And I bet Tommy Pham made at least $5 million that year. So you just deduct what a game check, like, you divide 5 million by 162.
Yeah.
Like, and then you multiply that by three. That's a lot. That's more money than I'll probably make in a year. I bet that's probably 60 grand.
I was going to say, I think it's about,
that's probably my yearly.
Grand.
Yeah, it's like like a little less than my yearly salary. Like, that's crazy. So it's nuts. Another one, which
is
very
guys,
funny.
It's not that serious.
Yeah, it kind of is. Another one.
No, if you have to miss work over,
yeah, over and, if you have to miss work over fantasy football,
it's too much.
You have a problem.
It's too much.
It's like with gambling. Like, if you have to miss work because of gambling,
it's too much.
You have a problem. You have to get help. It's too much. All right, the Stanley Cup we're saving the biggest one for last.
Okay.
So another one is that I didn't even know this happened until today. But in 2022, the Colorado Avalanche, they won the Stanley Cup. I was there to see it. It was great.
Was that the year it was dented too?
That was the year. And I remember I think I saw the video watching him do that, because we were on the ice when they went. And Nicholas Obey-Cabell got the cup and was, and everyone was taking the picture, and he went in and he went to go sort of like be like lie down in the picture like that, but he slipped and the cup freaking dented, and it was like the cup became, it was, it's like, it's the
and
bottom of
the
cup.
Only time, so like a backstory, there's a replica cup,
yes,
which is what goes, I hate to break it to everybody,
in
that's
the Hockey
what,
Hall of Fame,
no, that's what goes to all of the cup days,
because, oh,
because what happens if the if someone just like steals it, or as we're about to talk about, it gets lost, like,
well, it did get
real,
lost, this
the
is what's
real
interesting.
Cup is there when it's presented on the ice, mm-hmm, for the parade, and then it goes in a special vault at the Hockey Hall of Fame that is only open at certain points. Like, mm-hmm, it is not always available. And so this was like one of the only times where you knew it was the actual cup.
Yeah.
And apparently it took them like 4 months to get it repaired.
Yeah. Well, because it dented the base, and the base is a perfect circle. But if you look at the cup after, it looked like a friggin' like hexagon by the end of it because of just the amount of dents in it, but the, specifically that one, it just flattened out the bottom of the cup. It was hilarious. Now what happened here is that Gabriel Landeskog, he's gonna have his day with the cup, and it's in Denver, you know, and he's gonna take it to a local establishment, and everyone's gonna come by and say hi and all that. Meanwhile, a fella, I don't even know his name, but he's in a secluded Denver suburb, you know.
It's a very high-end suburb.
And it's also a very quiet one, because in the news report that we watched before, that he says maybe 5 cars drive by per day. So he's just hanging out, and
it's the suburb. I'm not going to name the suburb, but it's the suburb where if you're making less than $5 million a year as a household, you do not live there.
There you go. And so he, you know, he looks out his window and he goes, there's a giant delivery truck pulling up. This is weird. And then goes out and there's a metal crate in front of the door, and standing next to it is the keeper of the cup, Phil Pritchard, because he says there's this guy with long white hair and like a part in the middle. And he's like,
Phil Pritchard,
we're here with the cup. And he goes, cool. What am I supposed to do with it? And they go, are you not related to Gabriel Landeskog? And he goes, I don't know who that is. And so they go, oh, and they eventually have to reroute it. But it was basically like, imagine if like an Amazon truck pulls up and they go, all right, here's your delivery. It goes, I ordered sweatpants. This is the Stanley Cup. How does this happen?
This man's waiting for like his new pair of scissors,
yeah,
that he's ordered, or like his new,
he's waiting for like an air fryer or something. Like
his new toolkit for, yeah, his garage.
And the most famous sports trophy in the world shows up at his front door, and they're like, all right, so we're here. And you're like, okay.
Cool.
Now, obviously, another one that was very funny was, and this happened, a lot of these happened outside of the game, but this one happened in it, was that Randy Johnson murdered a dove in cold blood. However,
it's like a 95 mile an hour fastball right to the dove's head.
So it exploded the dove. It's famous. And there was a famous Halloween costume this year. A couple did, and it went viral, of like a guy dressed up as Randy Johnson. He looked exactly like Randy Johnson, and his girlfriend was the dove covered, yeah, in like blood and everything, which is great. But this is like, I think they calculated the odds of this happening, and it was like one in like a billion. Like it was like for a dove to be flying by at that time, but for it to be flying in the direct path of the baseball at that moment, for them to both collide, like it's one in a billion.
It's never happened.
Yeah. And it hasn't happened since. And yet he friggin' just obliterate. Like that's the thing about Randy Johnson, is he was a flamethrower. Like I think that was like a 98 mile per hour fastball. Like it was pretty intense. Yeah. And
that dove stood no chance.
That dove doesn't like, I know it died or whatever, but that dove, like there was nothing. It would be a if you were going to bury that dove, it would be an empty casket. There's pretty nothing
much
left.
But it makes you think, like when you get a fastball, like when you get hit as
to the
a
ribs
human,
or the back,
like that thing exploded a dove.
Yeah. Now, thankfully, humans are bigger and stronger than doves.
But it still hurts.
But it definitely hurts.
I actually saw, so like with my stepdad's baseball, like he plays, he coaches elite baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the highest senior. You know how like we have the Allen Cup in Canada?
Sure.
It's like the men's senior non-professional. So that's what my stepdad coaches, but for baseball. And basically this league is full of like former NCAA players. There's a couple of former professionals, like Pete Orr might play at some point. Like that's the level of league we're talking about here. I saw one of my friends, he plays on the team, he got hit with a fastball with a guy who like had played in Double A.
Yeah.
So like this is a very good baseball player. The size of the bruise,
yeah,
on this guy's
it looks like a crater, like it looks like a crater on his body, like it's,
yeah,
insane. Yeah,
it looked like he got shot.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's basically like getting shot with a rubber bullet. Like, it's insane.
It's actually worse.
How?
Like, no, I'm saying the mark that it leaves, I've seen, like, photos of marks of rubber bullets. Yeah. This guy got hit, and we happen to have the radar gun. He got hit with 94. And the mark that it left, because it's a baseball, yeah, was like, it was just bigger.
So just imagine what it would be like to take Aroldis Chapman, like 103 mile per hour thing right to the ribs. Like, you're done.
Yeah, your lung, yeah, collapses.
Another one, speaking of the Stanley Cup getting broken, like we talked about, is that the Spokane Chiefs won the Memorial Cup in 2008. Great, they broke it almost immediately.
No, like, it didn't make it out of the captain's, yeah, hands. He goes to hand it over to his assistant captain, and it, like, snaps in half. And if you don't know what the Memorial Cup trophy looks like, it's basically got, like, this really fat base, and then a cup thing that's soldered on, but the thing that's soldered on is about a centimeter in diameter.
I'm not going to make the joke that I wanted to. Continue.
It's just not a well,
yeah,
constructed trophy, in the sense that it's not made to be held in the same way that the Stanley Cup is. Mm. If you're going to hold it, you have to hold it by the base and lift it over your head.
Yeah.
You have to hold it like you hold the World Series. Like you hold the World Cup. Nobody's holding the World Cup sideways. Mm-hmm. You put both hands around the base and you raise it up.
You raise and go, yay. You know, the Lombardi Trophy is the same. You put both hands around the base. The cup, the Stanley Cup is the only one, and it's thick enough.
It's also the heaviest, yeah, by like that
you
can, five
that
times.
You kind of hold it with both your arm. You basically bench press it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like, yeah, but this one, it's not a great ergonomic feat, you know, like of engineering.
It's not very well designed.
And it snapped.
It's about as well designed as the Gardner Expressway in, yeah, Toronto.
And what I love about the clip, I remember the clip, is that they just kind of stood there, looked down like, at it, and go like, what do we do? Like, do we...
The look on his face, too, is like sheer, like, terror. He's like,
that was
okay,
funny.
And then they did dual celebrations. That was the best part.
Yeah. And then finally, Rachel, the best one. And obviously the circumstances are not great around it. But I did some research here.
I
so,
would just like to apologize.
Yes. So
I've had a bad day.
Tom Brenneman was the former longtime Cincinnati Reds play-by-play announcer. I'm sure you all know this, but we'll
if you don't know where this, yeah, is going.
And he was caught on a hot mic, and this was like during the COVID, like when there were
2020.
Like when there were like three fans in the stands allowed every game. But he was caught in a hot mic dropping a homophobic slur.
So it was not great.
It was not great. And so
should not say that.
They
word.
Go to commercial, and he comes back from commercial, and clearly in that commercial break, they go, Tom, what did you do?
What did you just say?
And so
it's like one of those like freeze frames where it's like, you're probably wondering how I yeah. ended up here.
So let me get my laptop out here. He basically has to sign off in the middle of the game because he's getting replaced and likely fired. And his color commentator will take them throughout the rest of the way. But he was given an opportunity.
Which is like a nightmare situation.
Yes. He was given an opportunity to sign off, though, like before everything went off. And so, unfortunately, in the middle of his sign off, Nick Castellanos, outfielder for the Cincinnati Reds, hits a home run to deep left field. And
did he?
And thus a meme was born. And so I want to read the verbatim
this happened. I saw this clip when it happened, yeah, and I haven't heard it since.
I want to read verbatim, and then I want to, because then Nick Castellanos became known for hitting home runs at inopportune times. And people might think, oh, it's a conjured meme, like whatever. No, there is examples, and we'll get into it, but me read verbatim. So 3-0 ball game with the Reds in front of the Royals as we go to the top half of the fifth inning. Castellanos to lead things off. Jim Day is going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game as Holland takes over on the mound. I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I'm deeply ashamed of. If I've hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a deep drive left, as there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that will, make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck. for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight, and I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. This is not who I am. It never has been. I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up. I'm very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness. Jim Day will take you the rest of the way home.
Okay, so...
No, if I hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Okay, but let's. There's a lot to unpack.
So there. Let's do it.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
So number one, don't say that.
Yes.
Number two, don't under any circumstances whilst apologizing. If you are commentating on radio, you need to let the people know what's going on mm-hmm. because that's your job. If you watch a soccer game, there are often times where the commentators will just shut up and let you listen to the crowd because you can yep. see what's happening. That would have been a time mm-hmm. where you continue with your apology and then say, Castellanos has hit a home run and Jim Day will take it from here.
No, you know what you do? Like, you give your apology. Because I've watched the clip, and as he's apologizing, they cut to actual gameplay, and Castellanos hits the home run. So at least if you're watching on TV, you can see it. You continue with your apology, you sign off, Jim Day comes back on, and he goes, and if for anyone, or while that was going on, the Castellanos did hit a home run, it's 4-0.
Yeah, it's literally anything but what you did.
Yeah.
Which also reminds me, before I guess you... enlighten me with all of the other Castellanos instances. There was, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth in a Sunday football, I remember what it was. They were talking about the domestic violence situation that was playing out, and Al Michaels is talking about how it's terrible, and the punt was blocked.
Yeah.
You just don't need to talk about the blocked punt. At that very second.
I think literally like muscle memory kicks in and you go like, I'm a broadcaster. All I've been doing for the last like 30 years is saying what's happening on the field. So if something big happens, I just like my brain initially clicks and goes like, I have to say it. Just crazy. So Castellanos hits that home run in the middle of Brenneman's apology for dropping a homophobic slur, which then ended his career.
A meme was born.
Yes. Meme was born. So this was August 19th, 2020. July 5th, 2021.
So not even a year later.
The Reds are playing the Royals. And on the Royals broadcast, they are honoring George A. Gorman, a World War II veteran who had just passed away
two days
earlier at age 97 when Castellanos hits a home run.
No!
So Castellanos hits a home run. He hit this one, and it was in the same, it's like, because it was at home, it was in the same building as when.
So, hang on a minute. Why are they, this is the Royals' fault. Why are they honoring a World War II veteran in the run of play?
Well, because, okay, baseball's different.
Do it in commercials.
Baseball is different because you can basically, like, you almost have to, like, just tell stories during the game because... Things aren't happening all the time.
Oh, so it wasn't like the park was honoring him. It was just the broadcast.
It was the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
Like, oh,
okay,
we
okay.
want to talk
I,
about.
I thought you meant like while the game was going on, they had something.
They
on
don't
the
do that
Jumbotron.
During. But it was during like the broadcast. Like if you, like
Got
Vince
it.
Vince Scully would tell stories about like
I love Vince
his
Scully
dog
so
like
much.
Catching snakes or something, but weave in the play during. It was great. Anyway,
Vince Scully's the goat when it comes to baseball commentary.
Yes, I would say one of the goat commenters in general.
Ever. Yeah.
And I guess just because of the handiness that Castellanos is, but it was also a drive to deep left center in this home run.
So
hit it in the same spot in the same building. Great.
They need to have like, you know, those so when Caitlin Clark broke the scoring record, yeah. they put the little 22 at the spot she took the thing from. They need to have like a Castellanos spot.
Yeah. And so we fast forward
Wait,
we're
to not done.
No, we're not. We fast forward to March 27th of 2022.
Less than a year later.
So yes. And this is during spring training. Is it during spring training?
Yeah. March 22nd is
or 27th. So I think it might have been
because baseball season starts like.
It said, okay, so basically what happened was, and so this isn't a home run. However, the broadcast is discussing Jay's pitching coach, Pete Walker. He gets in a DUI. So the Jays pitching coach or Jays broadcast has to acknowledge it, and they're talking about how you know, Pete Walker, he has a
he's away from the team right now. Yeah,
well, he's in the dugout on this clip, so they're talking about how he just rejoined the team and he had DUI, okay, yeah. And you know, and they're reading out his like heartfelt apology and all that. And meanwhile, that offseason, Castellanos is signed with the Phillies. And what happens during them discussing Pete Walker's DUI? He gets his first hit in a Phillies uniform.
This guy, man, is just like, we need to institute a new rule.
Yeah.
We're not addressing serious matters if Nick Castellanos is at the plate.
Fast forward.
You are going to wait.
Fast forward to May 30th, 2022.
2 months later?
Yes. 2 months later. 2 months later. May 30th, 2022. It's Memorial Day.
No.
And you know what happens in Memorial Day? Everyone wants to pay homage to to the fallen service members.
We have a lot of European listeners and like a lot of Canadian ones. If you don't know what Memorial Day is, so we have Remembrance Day here.
Yeah, this is their, yeah.
And this is their Memorial Day because for Remembrance Day is Veterans Day. So this is when we just honor everyone at the same time in Canada and overseas, whereas in the US they have Veterans Day and then they have Memorial Day. Memorial Day is for like active service members. So they're honoring people who are currently in the armed forces.
No, they're honoring people who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who died. So the quote is, honoring those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Castellanos rips one to deep left field. It is gone. So as they're honoring people who have died in the field of combat for their country, Castellanos rips one where? To deep left field. And it is gone. Fast forward to October 11th, 2023.
Okay, so they're honoring. It was my mistake that they were honoring active veteran. No, they're honoring guys who actually died. And we think it's important to discuss Oprah.
Yeah. Fast forward to October 11th of 2023. It's the playoffs. It's great. However, Phillies manager Charlie Manuel, and keep in mind Castellanos plays for the Phillies. So Phillies manager Charlie Manuel, he had a stroke in September. And so the broadcast, considering that this is, you know, game three of the NLDS and he just reported that he was doing better, they were sending their well wishes to Phillies manager Charlie Manuel. And Nick Castellanos ripped one to deep left field and it is gone. So that is outside of the original one. That is one.
No, that's the best one.
Two, three, four. That is four instances in the next 2 years.
They're gonna be honoring like someone who died, and this guy's gonna hit a grand slam.
Like,
what are, like, Nick? Here's an idea.
This is crazy. He has no idea what they're doing in the broadcast.
He is not allowed to play on those days. Like Memorial Day, not allowed to play. Like, because he just can't. So yeah, new rule.
It's the funniest thing ever. Like,
we're not addressing serious topics if Nick Castellanos is at the plate. We're just gonna put a pause on that.
I just can't believe it went like that's so funny. Like it's because normally when memes happen, like it gets over, like once. It's one thing and it gets over exaggerated and we talk about it and then dies. But the reason why this thing has legs is because it keeps happening. They keep talking about serious issues, and in the middle of a serious issue, Nick Castellanos steps up to the plate and fucking clocks a home run into deep left field, the same spot every time.
Okay, so it's happened in 2020, 2021, twice in 2022,
and once in 2023.
So it's happening in 2024.
It's happening this season. I wonder what it'll be. But when it happens, we will obviously be here to discuss it.
Oh, I can't wait.
But it has happened five total times that during a somber moment when they're honoring either dead people, people who are fighting life-threatening illnesses, or talking about someone, the greatest shame of someone's professional career, Nick Castellanos steps up to the plate and hits an absolute piss rope right into the deep left field bleachers. It's insane. I love it. Maybe not as... Is this as funny as a truckload of bobbleheads getting stolen?
It is funnier.
Okay, amazing. And on that note, we've reached the end of the podcast. Obviously, subscribe to us on YouTube, on Twitch, on you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, you know, any sort of podcatcher under the sun, write us a review. We love to hear back from you. And obviously, donate to our charity of choice, Jumpstart, which helps economically disadvantaged children play team sports, which is a cause that's very near and dear to Rachel and I's hearts. All the links and anything are in the episode description. So if you're able to, donate to Jumpstart to help children play sports. And we will see you on Monday.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.